Originally, they told me I had 25 minutes, and now I have 10 minutes, so I'll have to say something. It'll take me a half an hour to explain why I'm doing this. There were two themes I wanted to speak about that I thought were especially appropriate for now. Rabbi Simon, in his very moving words, before we closed the kinnis, said that he saw it in a new collection that was just published by the OU, and it is the Rav's kinnis. The Rav used to have large groups of Mismachim from all over the country coming to him on Tisha B'Av. He spent hours at Tisha B'Av reviewing the kinnis for many, many years. And they finally compiled this all, and they made it into a magnificent sefer, which opens up the kinnis in many, many ways. I'd like to begin, however, because I got the sefer yesterday. And they opened up, and there are two forwards, one from Reb Nachum Ginak, who, of course, is one of our Rashi Yeshiva, and the second one is from Rabbi Haskell Lookstein. And it's called The Recollection of a Tisha B'Av Shir, given by the Rav. And I found it to be an altogether beautiful exposition of that shir. He talks about coming to Eretz Yisrael with his wife immediately after the Milchemes Sheshes Hayomim, after the Six-Day War. The Six-Day War, of course, was in June. The magnitude of the victory was immediately sensed, but of course grew in the following weeks and months. So Tisha B'Av must have been about, at most, 2 months afterwards. And I'm going to read to you just two paragraphs of his, and then I'll come to what the Rav said, and then I'll come to say what I feel. That's one part. And the second part, I hope I'll have time, because I have a new understanding. Eicha Yoshua Bodod Ve'ir Rabosi Am. He said, we arrived in Tel Aviv and Tisha B'Av just in time to eat a meal before the fast and go to Rabbi Shlomo Goren's synagogue for the Tisha B'Av night services. The mood in Israel was anything but Tisha B'Av-like. There was simply no feeling of mourning or sadness. On the contrary, there was a feeling of exhilaration, confidence, excitement, and redemption. It was clear that Israelis were in no mood to observe or even to feel the sadness and mourning of Tisha B'Av. The services proceeded rather routinely. Rabbi Goren read Eicha, and then the congregation began the first of the lamentations of the kiddush. They got through about half of the stanzas of the first of the lamentations alone, and then they stopped, and everyone proceeded to leave shul. The mood of the country was one of liberation and redemption, with people feeling that they had been saved from, God forbid, a second Holocaust, and with the sensation that not only were we saved, but the state of Israel had expanded its territory perhaps threefold, and its holiest sites were back in our hands. All of this because of the hatred and mistakes of intractable enemies. How can we feel depressed and mournful on that Tisha B'Av? And yet, Audrey and I were very disturbed. It was, after all, Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year. Something inside of me said that this reaction, although understandable, was not appropriate. 10 months later, June 16, 1968, The Rav gave expression to our feelings in one of the most memorable shiurim I ever heard from him. The Rav asked, how can we mourn an event, however sorrowful and sad it was, 2,000 years ago, and to sit down and actually sit shiva almost, and there were more. And he gave three reasons. The first reason was, we have a principle, b'chol dor v'dor chayev. It's not only for Pesach, it's also on Shavuos, and it is on Tisha B'Av. It is our obligation, every generation. Laharos, and according to the Rambam, liros. Not only to make believe that we're there, but we have to actually feel that event, whether it's the event of Gula, Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Rachman al-Son, the event of the destruction of the temple. And therefore we have Tisha B'Av, and we have to feel Tisha B'Av as it were. And the Gemara in Yerushalmi says that if you don't have the sense that the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, then you wouldn't have the sense it was being rebuilt either. But if you have the sense of Havelis, it could be 2,000 years later, the B'chol Dor V'Dor, that we feel that the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, in that door, the Beis HaMikdash is Nibna, certainly in our hearts, in our beings. That was the first teretz. The second teretz was that even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av was observed. Of course, they brought the Korbanos. They didn't do away with the various obligations of the Beis HaMikdash. But they observed Tisha B'Av. They observed Tisha B'Av in prayer. And what stood out most of all? The ghost of the first Korban stalked them. In the words of the Rav, they were terrified that the history of the Bais Rishon should not, Rachmano Litzlan, be repeated. And that was the second reason. I don't have to spell it out. Why we have to feel every year, even in this time. In this time, I think in the last few years, Rachman Olson, we feel it more. The third reason is because on Tisha B'Av, we not only observe and solemnly observed the Korbanos of the Batei Mikdash, but of all the Korbanos of our history, going through the Crusades, the pogroms, I don't have to read out for your litany, and coming, of course, most significantly for us, in the so-called 20th century, in the Holocaust. And therefore, we have to feel Tisha B'Av. I thought there was another reason before why we have to observe Tisha B'Av, even at a time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, the Bayis Sheni, because the Bayis Sheni was never the same as the Bayis Rishon. There were things missing in the Bayis Sheni. They didn't have the Luchos. Imagine, in the Bayis Rishon, they had the Luchos. The Luchos that were given to Moshe al Har Sinai by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't have the Tzitzenes of Mon. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim that the Kohen could speak to Urim, and the Urim would somehow light and flash, and there they would get God's message what to do. That's another reason why they had to observe Tisha B'Av even during the second Bayis. I want to contrast this because they stopped saying it. Everybody stopped saying it. There wasn't a Yochid. And I don't have to say there could have been a Yochid remaining there, but even that Yochid wasn't there. And I'm leaving that out. I came to Eretz Yisrael in 1949. Some of this I've told already. To see my grandfather, Yaakov Moshe. And I was there during the summer, 1948, he had the Akoma Sabdina. It was the second Tisha B'Av. And I was staying with him in his home. And he had a minyan there because he was very ill. So he made a minyan more. About 15, 20 people used to come to daven with him. And on Tisha B'Av, there was that minyan too. They came up there. In fact, it was the room that I was sleeping in. Of course, I had to get out of the bed. I wasn't even sleeping, but I was sleeping on a mattress because it was Tisha B'Av. I had to put it away. And the people came, and they davened. And after the davening, they started to say, my Zayda started to say, he sat on the floor. He had heart failure the night before. He suffered very severely from a very bad heart, which took his life very quickly. But he had many heart failures. So the night before, already he began to, the mood of Tisha B'Av seized him already. And we had to call the greatest cardiologist at the time, Dr. Zundek. Those of you who know that history will know about it. And then during the morning, everybody says, there's no more, you don't have to have any more. They didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have Yerushalayim yet. Yerushalayim HaKodesh. We had the surrounding areas which became New Yerushalayim. And yet they all said, they felt exhilarated. And I want you to know the exhilaration they felt in 1948 and 49 was no less than the exhilaration. Because you can't imagine, we could today, if something like happened the sixth day of war, we would feel it. But this was only 3 to 4 years after the Holocaust. The war ended in 1945, and in 1948, we already had a state. That's unbelievable. I remember that in 1947, in November, when the state was first proclaimed, not proclaimed, when the United Nations voted that there should be a partition, and there should be two states. And the Jews were hanging on the radios. I don't know if there may have been television or radio. We certainly didn't have it. And they were hanging on the radio. And it happened late Friday afternoon when they finally passed it by sufficient votes, and nobody was sure until the votes were taken that there would be enough votes for a Jewish state. Jews began to stream from Jews, non-from Jews began to stream. And I walked with my father to the shul, and he had a large shul, a tremendous shul. The whole shul was filled, the lobbies were filled, and the outside, there were over 5,000 people who came without any announcement. The thing was over at 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:15, I remember, when the United Nations proclaimed it, and we died in Minsk at 6:30 that time, or 6:35. And the neighborhood was filled, everybody felt it. Such a stream you can't even imagine. And they had to open the windows, and my father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had a booming voice, and through the window you were able to hear what he was saying downstairs. And they were thrilled, they were raised by it. So that's what people felt. So everybody got up and started to walk out, and they did walk. And the Zeta said, you have to say it. And he couldn't, and he stayed, and he sat, and he stayed on the ground until midday Chatzos. And he cried the entire time. And he said, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Yerushalayim yet. What are you? And he was very happy. He was among the most happiest of the Rabbonim at that time. He put out this beginning Aschal to the Gulasa. With his belief and everything else, and his open-armed acceptance, happy acceptance of what happened, with all the joy that filled his heart. When it came to Tisha B'Av, we didn't have Yerushalayim. We certainly didn't have the Harabayas, and we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash. So ultimately, that memory remains with me forever. And I evolved, and I think I once must have said it in one of my talks to the Talmidim. I evolved a mashal, an analogy, and I think it'll tell you why we have to celebrate Tisha B'Av. It was a car. It was a van. When I first evolved it, there were no vans. There were only, what do you call those cars where you had your family in it? What? Station wagons. I wanted to see if anybody still knows it. Station wagons. And the father and mother were sitting in the front seats. In the second seats were sitting there four children, small children, different ages, but all of a young age, and in the back was sitting the grandfather and grandmother. And they were Rachmanaslan. They were demolished in a terrible collision the entire car. And it seemed that everybody was engulfed in the fires and the killing fires of that collision. And to truth to tell, the wife, the children, and the grandparents were all pronounced dead. The only one who managed to miraculously escape was the father. I can't. You can't imagine. A father lost his wife. A man lost his wife. His children. His own parents. There's no. You can't begin even to try to find what it meant. And there was a proper funeral services. The sadness, the grieving, was unbearable. Absolutely unbearable. We can't imagine. We should never hear of it. And he's sitting all alone, and people are coming, and they can't, of course, in any way console him. And after the first day, somebody knocks at the door. Who knows? He sees two of his kids knock at the door. Can't understand it. Two of the kids knocked at the door. What happened? They're all dirty. He says, we were found ourselves in a hole. We were buried in a hole. We barely breathed, and we started to scratch it. I scratched myself. Then I heard a little scratching next door, the grave next door. He brought his brother out, that was all he served, and he came here, and he barely could carry himself, and he brought himself home. You can imagine the joy of the father, like two sons still alive. They came out of the grave. And the word spread, the media heard about it. It was Tias Hamesim, unbelievable. And they came with their cameras, and they filled the house to see this Tias Hamesim. The whole world never heard of Tias Hamesim, except one religion has Tias Hamesim and can't prove it. But here it was. We could see it. And as they're there, the door knocks again. And there's a lady there. It's the wife. She managed. The next day, she was cutting it, and she made a little hole. And so she was able to get out of the grave. She had to hear somebody. And she came out of the grave alive. He was so happy. And so it happened that the other children, the only one who didn't make it, was the grandfather, the old Zayde didn't make it. But he was so happy he got back his wife, he got back his four children, he got back his mother. It was the biggest nest in the history of the world. He went to the Rav, he said, I don't have to sit shiva anymore. He had about three more days left for shiva. He said, what do you mean? Your father, the Zayde, but your father didn't come back. It's the same shiva. The very same shiva. I don't know if I should go for the second part, which I thought was really important to tell you, but I'll go on just for a few moments. To a new, I think it's a pretty new way of looking at it. Eicha Yoshua Badod, Bira Basila. Yerushalayim was sitting, dwelling Badod. And we'll come to the word Badod. And I want to discuss the word Badod. And I'm making it very brief. Be'ir Rabasi Am. That word Godod had great meaning to me this year. My memory isn't as good as it used to be, and I openly acknowledge that, but sometimes it ain't so bad. It's memorable almost. I remember an article that I read in 1992 in the New York Times. And I saved that article, and I was going to go back because I thought of something, and I was going to go back and see if I was right. And it was right after the flotilla that I thought about this, where every night the entire world just collected together against us. It was the day after the maiden speech of Prime Minister Rabin in 1993. The paper is July 14th. And I kept it. I only did it the last few weeks. And they talk about a speech, and it was his maiden speech. He became Prime Minister. He was succeeding Shamir. And in the address, it said, "We must overcome." But it was more than an outline for peace. It was also a declaration that Israel has changed direction after 15 years of right-wing governance under the Likud Party. A clarion call to the country to stop thinking that, quote, the whole world is against us. We must overcome, I'm continuing the quote, the sense of isolation that has held us in its thrall for almost half a century. We must join the international movement toward peace, reconciliation, and cooperation that is spreading over the entire globe these days, lest we be the last to remain all alone in the station. It's a very memorable paragraph. And I had a sense that when he said we were all alone, we're no longer alone, that he was maybe referring to the pasuk Hein Om Levadod Yishkom. So just 2 weeks ago, I went to the library, and it took a long time to find the Divrei HaKnesses. You have the congressional record, and the Knesset has also a congressional record, but it's called Divrei HaKnesses. And it took a long time, it was more than a half hour, that they had four librarians working to see if they can get the collection of that year. And they got it. And I wanted to see how it was phrased. And he goes and he says that Sharei Ha'aliyah Af Heim Niftechu Chovosenu Klapeinu Klapei Bneinu Hiliros Es Ha'olam Ha'chodosh Kifi Shu Achshav Livchon Es HaKonos Livdok Es HaSikuyim Le'asos HaKol Kidei Shemedina Yisrael Tishtalev Ba'olam HaMishane Ponov Ein Anu Od Bak Ve'Hechrech Am Levadcho Levadod Yishkon. And I was right. It took me from 1993, 92, to then, and I finally found it. I was moved. So that was Bodot. You know, we know Mitoch Bilchoso Shel Bilam, Bilchoso Shel Bilam, you know Kiloso. This understanding of Hain Om Levadod Yishkon was what Bilam wanted to say, that it was a curse that we'd be alone and we'd be isolated. And the translation in the English was isolation in the art scroll, and I found it to be very reliable and very weird. And the same thing, I think it's in the Lahavdil Elef Alfi Abdullah in the King James Version. It is isolated. That's the word Levadod. When they talk about Vayishkom Yisrael near the end of the Torah, about 9 psukim before the end of Devarim, the end of the Torah, and it's part of what we say in the reading of Simchas Torah, not only because we're going over a Sedra, but in the reading of Simchas Torah, before we go from Ma'onah, we have the pasuk Vayishkom Yisrael Vetach Bodot. And Israel dwells securely, alone, in solitude. There's a difference between the word isolated or in solitude. And that pasuk eludes us. There are two ways of understanding. Eicha Yoshua Bodod. And the way we're just now trying to say the two ways, or we could say that he went mechutz lamachaneh, bodod mechutz lamachaneh. When you send a mitzora chutz lamachaneh, it's bodod. It's isolated. It's terrible. It's a curse. But when it's bodod by Yishkon Yisrael, betach bodod. It's the greatest blessing. We see already what Vagoyim Lo Yishchashav means. That we're not even considered a nation. We're not considered anything now. The legitimacy of who we are is in question. So we reached a very, very dangerous pass now. Vagoyim Lo Yishchashav is we don't care what the nations of the world say. We are alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the confidence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I made it very short. I just pray and hope that in Yirtzeh Hashem we will be zeicher Yomeinu, the Korov of Yomeinu. When Eicha Yoshua Bodot, it will be Eicha Yoshua Betach Bodot, where Eir Abbasi. And it won't be Rachmana Litzlam, the Chutz Lamachet.
Mincha will begin in 3 minutes.